1 Peter chapter 3. Passage of kind of general instruction, just general Christian behavioral stuff, says in verse 8, 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let's pray. Now, Lord, we've heard good advice already here tonight, and it should be enough for us. There may be a shade here that we maybe sometimes might skip over and not really grasp. Father, I pray that you might make it simple for us tonight, and I hope that what you dealt with me about this week could be made simple for everybody to get as I had to get it. And so I pray that you'll be with us. We look to you for instruction. We're happy to sit as children at your feet, look upon your face, and ask you to teach us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, 1 Peter 3, the passage I read you, is just general instruction about things in general. A lot of ground is covered, a lot of things you could preach about in there, but I wanted you to see something in verse 11. In verse 11, there is something that is unique in the Bible. There's nothing like it anywhere else. It says in verse 11, let him eschew evil. Well, you know what that is. Job eschewed evil. And do good, you know what that is. You're admonished to do that in Hebrews 13. Let him seek peace and ensue it. That is the only time in the Bible that the Bible uses the word ensue. The only singular time. Now, usually the Lord, there's not that many words that are used only once. And like I said, my rule is, you know, if I need to figure out what something means, then I'd prefer to be able to figure it out from what the Bible says in another place. And it's not inconsistent with other things, but there's no other occurrence of the word ensue. I will, I'll never forget, it's been a while since I've thought about it, I guess, but sometime, this was years ago, the kids were still small, Marsh and I, we got away with the family this time of year sometime, and up to somebody's timeshare, and the timeshare that was open was up in Detroit Lakes. And so we went up there, and you know, spent two or three days, 3 or 4 days, whatever. And we were in up there for a Sunday, and we went to a church that was up there. I don't remember which one. It was a Baptist church. But anyway, we went in, and they had a guy preaching, and he came through this passage, and I got a 45-minute blindingly boring message about the Greek and all that ensue must mean. I mean, I just about blew my brains out because it was so boring. If you go to church, it at least ought not be boring. Anyway, so, in the Greek, for what it's worth, the word ensue comes from is used 45 times in the New Testament. Most of the times it's used translated persecute. Well, needless to say, that's probably not the meaning here. Verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good, and let him seek peace and persecute it. I don't think so. So, what's the Lord up to with this thing? I mean, he gives us a word one time. You can look it up in the dictionary, and we will. That's no problem. But it's used one single time. Well, what are you supposed to get out of a word used one time? And I got thinking about that. It troubled me a little bit. And all the new versions that I could check say that means to pursue. Okay, well, I can get that because, after all, you look at pursue and ensue, and They look like cousins, you know. I mean, there's a commonality about the words. And, okay, if it means pursue, that's just fine. But I don't know if you've, thought about it much, but what does the Lord want you to get out of this? Here you have a word used one time. Well, I ask you this. Did you know that the word pursue in any form, pursue, pursued, pursueth, pursuest, is only an Old Testament word? It's never, there is no pursue in the New Testament. Kind of interesting. And I got thinking about that. 80 times in the Old Testament somebody is told to pursue something, but no times in the New Testament. They tell us this is supposed to mean pursue. Follow after peace, verse 11, I can't find it. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Pursue. I don't know what kind of image your mind cooks up when you hear the word pursue. I think of some screaming tires and cars flying down the road and going through traffic and everything, or I picture at a Turkish bazaar this guy in flowing robes and a headdress, you know, with a Turkish sword, you know, chasing somebody. They're bounding over things and jumping across alleys on from roof to roof and stuff, and the music's playing. It finally winds up in a sword fight and that kind of thing. Is that what you're supposed to get out of verse 11? I mean, are we really to pursue peace like that? Peace running and screaming, with a Turkish sword? I mean, I don't think so. So, that's where I'm at. Well, first of all, if you look up the definition for ensue, it means to follow. In Webster's 1828, if you read your Bible carefully here, you might come to that conclusion. After all, it says in verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it. So seek peace. You don't have to chase it down and kill it. And ensue it. And notice again it says in verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? So there's the definition right there in the passage, right? Say, well, what are you getting at here? Well, what I'm getting at here is that I am more than capable of making things harder than they are. Sometimes I bring way too little brain power to Bible problems, and I wind up in the corner like an old-fashioned fuse box with sparks flying, going, and Marcy has to come and put me out with a fire extinguisher. I'm happy to deal with, I like dealing with intricate, interwoven, interlaced stuff. You know, stuff went over in Sunday school this morning, and next week will be fun. I like wrestling with those problems and stuff, but I'm aware at times that I can overthink something too. I imagine you're not among, that some of you probably do that. I've heard folks, you know, when it comes down to, you know, asking them about church attendance and stuff, well, they're just not sure whether they really should go to church or not. Well, I think you're overthinking that. If there's a good church and it believes the book, and since the Lord ordained the church, then I really think that maybe you should go. You know, well, I've been praying about witnessing this guy, and I just don't know if I should or not. Well, duh. You may be overthinking this just a little bit, amen? And there's a lot of the Christian life like that, I want to say. You know, things get complicated because we complicate them. And there's all this turmoil and conflict, all these voices that confuse matters, and if you listen to too many scholars, you're going to wind up confused. It just goes on and on. There's travail and trouble and the kids. It gets confusing. There's so many voices. Sometimes you have to back down and reduce Christianity to its common denominator and just do something simple. Right? You need to just reboot. Go back to default mode. You know, just turn the computer off and let it reboot and come back up with just something simple. So, one time in the Bible, just once, it's a matter of emphasis by de-emphasis. The Lord says, seek for peace and ensue it. And He reminds you, maybe by the singular fact that maybe you would notice this word shows up one time, that maybe you would concentrate on that word and that you might learn a real sound lesson. It means follow. Okay? Title of this message is Just Follow. Sometimes in the confusion of all the mess and all the trial and tribulation and all the voices that come at you, and pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, pre-wrath, Calvinism, tulip, it just goes on and on and on. Everybody's arguing and fighting and fussing, and the kids aren't getting along, and somebody doesn't want to go to church and somebody else does. Somebody says you should do this and somebody else says you shouldn't, because after all, Jesus said da-da-da-da-da. Just shut up! Let me shut down and reboot. sometimes when you're confused and kind of not sure what to do because you don't know what to do, one of those things, you know, it's kind of nice to go back to something simple that you can always know is right. The title of this message is Just Follow. Just follow. That's what ensue means. It shows up one time in the Bible. I think the Lord would like you to see that and go, huh, wonder why the Lord put that in there one time, because maybe once in a while you get kind of overdone, your fuses all get cooked, and you just have to shut down and do something you know's the right thing. Just follow. Just follow. Christian life should be able to be reduced to something pretty simple. I tell you what, if you look at the Bible, you can't get much simpler than following. And it's really sound advice in any situation. I don't care if it's your marriage. I don't care if it's raising kids. I don't care what you're facing. There may be a confusion of details about things the Bible doesn't speak of, and sometimes you can get entangled with that and all confused and turned around and what should I do and what shouldn't I do and all this kind of stuff. I can tell you what you can always do. You can always just follow. You know, the second time that a red letter is used in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 1, Jesus Christ said, "Come ye after me." And in Matthew, it's translated, "Follow me." And you know what those disciples did? You know what Simon Peter and his brother did, Andrew? They followed. By the time you get to John chapter 1, he says, "Hey, Philip, follow me." And guess what? Philip did follow him. Did you know that the very last red letters in the book of John are, "What is that to thee? Follow thou me." I tell you what you can always default back to and you're safe every single time. Just follow. Sometimes you talk yourself into this quandary of confusion because you're thinking too much. Sometimes you just should follow. Should you go to church? Well, duh, yeah. Should you memorize some scripture? Maybe I should read my Bible. Yeah. Just follow. Just follow. Jesus Christ left here to make a way for us. He had made a way for us, really. Already died on the cross for our sins, buried, rose again the third day, led captivity captive. Gave gifts to men. Those disciples stood there on that mount and watched him ascend into the sky. And somebody comes along in a little while and says, "Don't worry, he'll be back, coming back the same way he came." And that's what we're waiting on, right? And for now, we're supposed to be following. One day he comes back, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Guess what we'll do? We're going to meet him, and then we're going to follow him to heaven. Then after we're in heaven for a little while at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says in Revelation 19:14 that the armies of heaven followed him back down here to whoop up on the heathen. You were called to follow from the start. You're called to follow now. You'll be following in the future. When it all boils down, it's all hashed out and common denominators are found, just follow. Just follow. When you're confused, just follow. It's funny. I then looked up because the ensue led me to, you know, to look at follow. I found out that follow in its forms, follow, followed, followest, and so on and so forth, shows up about 250 times in the Bible. Believe it or not, it's just about evenly divided, 122 times in the Old Testament, 128 times in the New Testament, and so pretty even. First time you run up on somebody following in the Bible, in the Old Testament, you go to Genesis 24, and you know who that person is? It's you. Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. And you know this passage pretty well. Got several sermons out of it myself. 24:5. And the servant said unto him, this is Abraham trying to send his servant into his homeland to get a bride for Isaac. He says, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring my son again unto the land from whence thou comest? Look down in verse, 8. 24:8. If the woman will not be willing to follow thee. Well, that woman is Isaac's wife. That's the type of the bride of Christ. First time follow shows up in the Old Testament, it's you. I'm comforted by the fact that when all gets confusing and I don't know what to do because I don't know what to do and I've confused myself, allowed somebody else to confuse me, I can always fall back on one thing I know is right. Just follow. Just follow. The Old Testament theme really is not all that different from the New. Let me take you all the way back and show you a picture of what the Lord was, a broad spectrum of what the Lord's really after. Look back in Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel 16 is a rough chapter. In fact, it's one that I wouldn't necessarily read the entirety of in public and comment an awful lot on, because there's just some really, really frank things in here. And the Lord's talking to Jerusalem and said in verse 6 that when He found her, and this is how the Jews came into the lot that they're in. He says, I passed by thee, verse 6, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood. And I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, in verse 7. Thou hast increased and waxen great. Thou art become to excellent ornaments. It talks about how beautiful she is now in verse 8. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Now if it offends your sensibilities that the Lord took was plainly a very young lady, and maybe even a girl, and eventually married her, I'm sorry it offends you. You can also look at it as a father to a girl as well, but just notice down in verse 14, this girl grows up, this is Jerusalem, this is the joy of the whole earth, and He's taken kindness upon her. He says in verse 14, thy renown, went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, I made you beautiful, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God, but thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and platedst the harlot because of thy renown that pours out thy fornications on everyone that passeth by. His it was. You played the whore against me. Verse 17, thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and madest thou thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them. And you go on down this passage, there's some rough places in this passage. It's talking about taking a young woman out of her pollution, and throwing his skirt over her and loving her. And he just wants this young woman who he loves to follow him. And she wouldn't follow. He goes into Egypt to rescue a people in bondage, an enslaved people in Egypt. Delivers them, a slave nation. Leads them. They follow him. They follow that pillar of fire. They follow Moses. They follow Aaron. They follow the law out through that Red Sea, out into the wilderness. They're intended to follow him all the way into the land, but they wouldn't go. He eventually gets them into the land of Canaan because they follow him in. They follow that pillar of fire right up to the Jordan River. They follow the manna as it's strewn along the trail all the way up to that river. Then they cross over the river and there's no manna anymore. He led them to that land. They followed him, but they didn't keep on following him. He said it was going to happen. He forewarned them in Deuteronomy there was going to be a day they'd go into that land and they would forsake him. And sure enough, they really haven't followed him that much for that long a time, ever. And so he led them into captivity and took them away for not following. I just want to say, sometimes you get stymied and confused and overwhelmed, conflicted by advice, and like Israel, come under some chastisement, some judgment, and now you don't know what to do because you don't know what to do. It's not that hard. You can always reboot and just follow. Just follow. Come to the New Testament and think about what we are to Jesus Christ and what He is to us. The Bible says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. What do you do when you see a light? This is not real brainy stuff. The fact of the matter is, there's all kinds of things in Christianity you can think about a lot. You can put all this stuff together and spend a lot of time thinking about it. It's profitable, it's good and all that, but I tell you what, when the light shines, you need to follow. It's just not real brainy stuff. Sometimes, just reboot and go back to following. When you're confused and you've failed and you're not quite sure why and you're not quite sure what you did wrong and you're frustrated and you're tired of failing and all those things, I got a suggestion for you. Just follow. Just go back to following. Just forget thinking about a thousand things. The circumcision made without hands and mortifying the flesh, and I am circumcised, I am crucified with Christ, and all those things that you have to get your mind around. Sometimes they're confusing because there's these two natures and just everything falls apart. Sometimes you're so frustrated because you tried to pray and it didn't work out. Tried to get something out of the Bible and it just seemed like there was nothing happening. Okay, just back off and go back to the lowest common denominator. Just follow. Having trouble in your marriage and you've tried and you've tried and you've tried, just follow what He said do. Both of you. Just do that. Just follow. If it's a light, bugs know to follow a light. Put a light bulb outside in the summer and every bug in the vicinity will come to it. You got as many brains as a bug, right? It's not a real intellectual exercise. Just follow. Think about the fact that Jesus Christ is our great shepherd, our good shepherd, which makes us sheep. We're not wolves anymore. We're sheep, right? You know what sheep do? They follow. It's not a real brainy exercise. Hey, ducks follow. Baby ducklings. Don't look now, but ducks aren't the smartest things on the face of the earth. They have a brain about the size of a spit wad. In fact, they'll follow something else if it shows up at the right time. But they know to follow. They know to follow their mother. My point is, folks, here you are, sheep. So, do what a sheep does. When it all gets confusing and you're trying to, pull all these facts in and work them into your life, and it's frustrating, and you didn't get it straight, and you didn't get it right, and you failed, and it seems like you're not the leader you should be, men and ladies, you're not the wife that you should be, or the mother, and everything just falls. Just follow. Just reboot the computer. Just turn the light off. Control-Alt-Delete. Let it reboot and come back up and just do something simple, something that always works. Just follow. Ensue it. Just ensue. It means to follow. Soldiers, we're called to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. What does a soldier do? He follows orders. We've got a great commander. We have a captain of our salvation. And a soldier follows orders. Follows his commander. Try that. Instead of wrestling with all these things of why and why not, and how come this didn't happen, and that did happen, and da 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 da, and well, he did this, and he prayed this, and it worked out for him, and she did that, and it didn't work out, and I just don't understand why it doesn't seem to work for me. Just follow. Just back off and try that sometimes. Amen? Here you have servants. What are servants supposed to do? Look in John chapter 12. John 12. It just struck me that with the fact that ensue is used one singular time in the Bible, that the Lord may have been directing our attention to the fact that He wants you to take note that ensue means to follow. And that maybe since He mentioned it just one time, that maybe that's the key to an awful lot. Look in John chapter 12. Go down to verse 25. John 12, 25. We are lights in this world. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. We are sheep. He's our master. We are soldiers. He's our commander. We are servants. Chapter 12, and I still haven't found the right spot. Sorry. 12, 26. No, verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, we're servants, right? Let him follow me. Well, I don't know how to serve God. Well, follow him. That's what he said. He said follow, right? I'm going to get in trouble here. But we're also the bride of Christ. If we're a fiance now, in a way we're a wife because we're members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. What's a wife supposed to do? Follow. Isn't she? Isn't that what she's supposed to do? He loves her, right? He's supposed to lead her. She's supposed to submit to him. If you can't do it with your earthly husband, surely you can do it to Jesus Christ. Surely. Right? He said in Matthew 4, he said, Simon, Peter, and Andrew, follow me. And they followed. He said to John Zebedee and James Zebedee in the same chapter, follow me. And they followed. Within a couple of chapters of that, a great multitude followed them. Over and over again in the New Testament Gospels, a great multitude follows. Sometimes he tried to get away. Sometimes he tried to steal away and get his disciples off so they could eat in peace. And that great multitude still followed. If a great multitude can follow, can't you follow? When it all gets confusing, when the trials and tribulations are kind of rough and you're sad and broken and frustrated, blind men followed him. Lepers followed him. The lame, crippled people in the Bible followed Jesus Christ. Surely, surely, when all else fails, you can follow. A baby duck follows. Surely you can follow. There's one thing that sticks out about Jesus Christ's ministry and the admonitions from the four Gospels and the book of Acts. Is that if all else fails, just following covers it. If you'll follow him, he'll give you the truth. If you'll follow him, he'll guide you. If you're following him, you'll do right. If you're following him, you'll try to witness to somebody. If you're following him, you won't mess up in sin. Just follow. Just follow. Again, there's no great intelligence required. You can overthink it. You know, sometimes, like I said, I sit in my office with my circuits frying and smoke coming out my ears because I'm trying to deal with something and there's all these ins and outs to it. And sometimes it's just wise to just back off and say, I'm not smart enough for this. I can't figure this out. I'm not an engineer. And just follow. Just follow. You don't need to pioneer anything. You don't need to step out and be and cut your own trail. He's already been there. In fact, he's already there waiting. Just follow. Just follow. You know, there's no great ingenuity required. I sometimes get thinking too much and start wrestling with, well, there's got to be something that I'm not doing right. There's got to be something. There's got to be a better way to do this because there has to be a way to reach the public where they want what we've got and so they will come here to get it. There just has to be a better way. And each time I get thinking like that once in a while, like I said, I back off and I look at what Jesus Christ did. And you know what I keep getting drawn back to again and again? Jeremiah 6:16. The old ways and the old path. And the way he did it is the way I'm supposed to do it. The most important thing that you can do whether you consider yourself a success or not, is do it the way God said do it. You know how you do that? You follow. Just follow. Don't overthink it. Don't worry about the results. Just follow. Now, there's just a couple of passages I'm going to take you to, and then I'm going to be done with you tonight. Mark chapter 8. Look at Mark chapter 8. I can show you this and to tell you a couple things that I'm sure are true. Mark chapter 8, if you're going to follow him, there is going to be something. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So there's going to be that. There's going to be a cross to carry. That cross is defined in that passage as self-denial. So sometimes when you're frustrated and confused and tired and a failure and somebody's disappointed in you and you're afraid you're not living it and living up to it, sometimes you have to put some of that stuff out of your mind and know that if you follow Jesus Christ, it's going to take some self-denial, but it's not hard. It's not a brainy exercise. There's no ingenuity involved. You just need to follow. A duck can do that, right? It's just not that hard a thing to do. You'll need to deal with some other things. Let me just show you real fast. Look in Luke 9. Lost my pen. Luke chapter 9. Luke 9, go down all the way to verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first. You got to watch out for that. If it's as simple as just following, and you know what? I think it's as simple as following. What'll mess you up is other firsts. Things that you put first in front of what he just told you to do. So you're going to have to deal with those firsts. He said, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first. There's a second one in a row. There's another first. You got to be careful with those other firsts. Because he'll say, do something, just it's not hard, Kyle. Just cut your brain off and just follow. And I'll say, but Lord, I got to do something else first. And that's what's going to mess you up, right? Because it's not that hard to follow. It's just not that hard to follow. A couple other things real fast I'd like to point out to you. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, go down to verse 12. Not as though I had already attained. Paul the Apostle speaking, a famous passage, of course. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, verse 11, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Here's the apostle to the Gentiles, one of the greatest Christians that we can imagine, saying, I am not there yet. Verse 12, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus. He said, but I follow after. Paul said, I'm not perfect, but what I'm doing is following. If it's good enough for him, isn't it good enough for you? I mean, nobody follows in perfection. Even Paul doesn't follow in perfection. He never claimed to. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, but this is what I do. He said, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I take from that, look, you can make it as hard as you want to in your head. You can make it some sort of an impossibility where in your mind you just can't do it. And the answer is yes, you can. All you have to do is follow. Shut your mind off sometimes. Turn the push, control, alt, delete. Reboot. Forget those things which are behind. And today, instead of overthinking it, just follow. Just follow. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. In following Him, I think you guys know the Bible admonitions that along the way you wind up following other men. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Jesus Christ. And sometimes what you back off and do is, in following Jesus Christ, take a look at somebody that you know is doing right and follow their example. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. That's not the only admonition, and I'm not just saying this because it's me preaching to you, but whose faith follow. Paul over and over said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Jesus Christ. And over again, other men followed other men that were worthy of being followed. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not that hard. He said, seek for peace and ensue it. And that was supposed to catch your attention because that's the only time that word's used. So what does that word mean? You go look it up, and it means follow. It's defined in the same passage. And so you start thinking, you know, if it can be, is it possible that it can be reduced to something that simple? And it is. When all else fails and things don't make sense and the path in front of you seems dark and you don't know how it's going to turn out and you're fearful and doubtful and all those things, just follow. Just follow. He says, ensue it. Not pursue it. The Christian life isn't you taking a Turkish sword and flying through the bazaar chasing down peace, chasing down some virtue in Christianity that you can't seem to tackle. And you pursue it and it's running from you. You got this Turkish sword over your shoulder. You're screaming like a banshee, vaulting over obstacles and jumping from roof to roof, you know, with the music playing, and get on a motorcycle, lay it down on its side and screech out and burn the tires to try to catch this thing you're after. It's not a pursuit. It's an insuit. I don't know that that's a word. But he says, don't pursue it. It doesn't say pursue it. All the new versions say pursue it. So I can't even preach this out of a new version. Insuit. Get frustrated, just back off and say, Lord, help me follow you. And start over again there. Just follow. Let's bow our heads and pray.